podcast is part of the Cannabis Media Collective. To enjoy all of the podcasts within the collective, just go to your favorite streaming app or site and subscribe to the Cannabis Media Collective. For more info, check out distinctmedia.ca.
Hey guys, welcome to the Cannabis Update Podcast. We give leaders and organizations an opportunity to tell their stories and share information. All right, today's interview is with none other than Vape the Bud. He's definitely one of Canada's premier cannabis reviewers. Some know him as Shane. Basically, Shane tells us his story, how he discovered medical cannabis, and why he began reviewing the products he was receiving through the Canadian Medical Cannabis Program. Super nice guy, and his insights are fantastic. So let's just jump in. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to the podcast, Shane.
Thank you, Michael. Nice to be here.
Start off with my most difficult question, the one I ask almost everybody in the cannabis space. Tell us something about yourself that has nothing to do with cannabis.
Okay. First off, I love to travel when I can, at least. It's been a bit different since I've started consuming cannabis medically for the last 5 years, but love traveling. I've traveled about 360,000 kilometers since 2000. I've been tracking this data of every single flight I've been on since then as well, using a website. And something about me that I guess some people do know, they see me posting pictures now and then when I do travel. I just wish I could do it more, but unfortunately, access is an issue. So
yeah, of course. Now, I'm going to jump around a little bit here, so forgive me, and I'll get into a little bit more about you, but I think that I had noticed you do some writing for Lyft from time to time, and you actually wrote an article on travel for medical cannabis patients, did you not?
It was on when I went to Las Vegas. Think it was like the end of July. I was down there and, you know, just tag along with a buddy of mine. And I'm like, yeah, I'll go along, and checked it out. And I knew that there was access to recreational cannabis. And since, you know, I like vaping, you have to be discreet, and down there, you can't just light up outside on the street. I mean, some people do it, but you got to be careful because consumption is limited to residents only. And none of the hotels specifically allow you to do that. The smoke in your room, well, cannabis at least. So
Okay, so that was your experience. I went down there, in March or April, and I had a good cannabis experience, although I don't think I was smoking like blunts right on the street all the time, but I definitely consumed outside. So I guess to each their own, but I had no idea that it's supposed to be only allowed for residents. I had no idea about that.
Yeah, like it's restricted to that, and now there's a consumption site that's like open, like a lounge at one of the stores there.
Right.
And it just started up, and I unfortunately it wasn't open when I was there, but I think it's great to have consumption lounges. As you know, it gives you a place to safely do it. But I mean, it's Vegas, right? I mean, you see people walking down the street with, you know, a huge bottle of liquor in their hand.
Of course.
Police don't really care. So, I mean, I just be more cautious down there because, you know, if that is the law, and as a Canadian, you don't want to have a record, right?
Yeah. You're not American at the end of the day. So if you were to get yourself into trouble, it's definitely not the country you want to do it in. That's for sure. I read online, I think you've been doing reviews and articling and that sort of thing for about 5 years, 2014. Is that right?
September 2014 is when I started reviewing, not to the extent where I am today.
Yeah, of course.
But and I began writing articles for Lyft & Co. In February of 2019. So it's almost a year now.
Okay, so then tell us about yourself and the growth of your character, I guess you could say, Vape the Bud. How did you go in 2014 from starting to tinker, I guess, with reviews to where you're at today?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So back in 2014, I actually wasn't called Vape the Bud. Okay. I was Shane underscore MMJ because, you know, I didn't know much about medical cannabis or anything. And, I was still learning. And I always started from the get-go with vaping. I had a PAX, like the original model.
Yeah.
Then I graduated to the PAX 2, and now I'm at the Mighty. So I've learned quite a bit of different methods to vaporize cannabis. And at the beginning of 2014, my reviews are really small, quick and easy.
Yeah.
now they're more elaborate, talking about terpenes and stuff, things I would never even talk about to people.
Yeah, no doubt.
And now that conversation is like booming, talking more about that rather than just THC.
Yeah. So if you don't put that kind of stuff in these days, those who know would be like, this is incomplete, right?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't expect at all to have any followers, to be honest with you, when I first started. I just really went on Twitter, and I just wanted to follow some people to get, you know, some insight into how to use cannabis properly, or, right, you know, what different strains matter for certain things.
So and more of a
fine line where, you know, right now, bud tenders can't even say, hey, use this for pain or whatever, because mm-hmm. they're not doctors. But, you know, most people going into these places are either wanting to have a good time, or they're trying to, you know, help themselves with a condition they may have, or to make things better for them.
Okay.
So,
well, in your case, though, what inspired you to begin reviewing cannabis?
I've worked in customer care before, so I've always been good at detailing things and talking to other people. So I went on social media, got linked up there on Instagram, and basically that's where I lifted off and slowly graduated into making it more organized, easier for people to read about cannabis. And I just wanted to let people, you know, have a source to look at the quality of the cannabis that I'm trying.
Okay.
And also to relate to other people, to their experiences, because experiences vary on effects by person. And it won't always be like, just because I have good pain relief with this kind of kush, mm-hmm. it won't necessarily mean the same for you.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And that's something that we all have to understand when we use cannabis.
Now, we talk about 2014 like it was the beginning of time, right? A lot of people involved in the cannabis space these days, myself included, I only started podcasting about 2 years ago. So for me, 2014, I'm like, wow. I mean, as a casual consumer, cannabis was around, but it certainly wasn't as large a part of my world then as it is now. And in 2014, were there a lot of people doing what you're doing?
Back then, it was very small. Like, Lyft & Co. actually was Lyft back then.
Yeah.
And that's when they started. And I think I came into the scene about 3 or 4 months after they started, or maybe 6 months or something. And I didn't even know about Lyft when I first started trying medical cannabis.
Right.
How I found out about that was, back then they would send these little square cards in the mail with your order.
Okay.
And it would say, hey, you know, review your cannabis, or, you know, whatever you're trying. And you would, you know, get points to redeem towards, you know, cannabis, because back then rewards were, you know, you could actually use it towards your orders.
Okay.
Back in the day. A lot changed from what I saw, but there wasn't really a lot of reviewers per se that I know, but there are some from back then who are still doing it, just not the same scale as we were when they first started.
Gotcha. So this year, 2019, you won, what was the correct terminology, best reviewer on the Lyft & Co. Canadian Cannabis Awards?
Top Lyft & Co. reviewer.
Top Lyft & Co. reviewer. And was just this year or last year as well?
Last year as well. So it's 2 years in a row now.
Badass. Okay, so then let's talk about reviews here, because this is kind of what you do and how I know you. Let's start off with asking you, how do you determine what to review? Because there's a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, a ton. Since 2014, I've been with, I think it's been 17 or 18 producers now.
Wow.
And I've experienced 167 flower varieties to date. And I hit 100 varieties in April of this year, if you count Junkies, for example. But so that big number would really be around 130.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've done quite a bit. So how I determine what to review? Basically, I sign up with a licensed producer and I try a few products. If I have a great time with them, I'll basically review mostly everything they have.
Okay.
I like giving input on how a company could do better, you know, maybe grow like a better product, or if it's so dry, you know, like throw a humidity pack in with it or something. Like I've had cannabis that has been a year old, or even, you know, like a year and a bit older. So, you know, it's just how it is. I don't know if it's distribution or what's going on there, but it's one of the things that a lot of cannabis consumers have faced.
Yeah,
no is doubt. Dried cannabis, overly dried cannabis.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In the legal space, for sure, in year one.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you said 167 officially. That we're going to say officially, because I would assume that prior to 2014, you had probably also consumed cannabis. So you could have very well tried or experienced different strains well before that. Therefore, it could be higher. Am I right? This is your official number you've kept track of.
Yeah. So in the medical space and some of the, recreational side, I guess you would say, I haven't tried as much on that point, but beforehand, I've tried cannabis on a few occasions. I've been to Amsterdam and, I've tried a joint there.
Okay.
And that was quite an interesting experience, but I was never a daily consumer of cannabis before 2014 of September. So basically the reason for using cannabis as a medical patient is for pain. Chronic pain affects my life daily. Mm-hmm. It's the number one thing that affects my life. And I have a vascular necrosis, which is basically I'm not getting any blood flow to parts of my body. So my main areas that are affected that I know of right now are my hips. And I have to get a hip replacement eventually. And then because I'm so young, they're trying to push it as far as possible.
Yeah. So, why is that? Do you have a history of like playing contact sports or something, or is it just genetics?
So I was on prednisone back in 2009 for severe stomach inflammation, and I was on it for probably about 2 months. And after a few days of being on the medication, I remember waking up one day. This is back when I was living at home, and I stood up out of my bed and I collapsed to the floor. I couldn't walk. I was screaming in pain. I didn't know what was happening. Yeah, and I remember being rushed to the hospital, and probably for 12 hours, I couldn't walk at all. And eventually, things slowly got better. They did x-rays on me. They didn't see anything strange. They just figured, hey, it's just a side effect of this medication. So I'm like, all right. And eventually, over time, pain got worse. And then 2011 came around, and I began sweating a lot, so I thought I had cancer. And I was like, really concerned, and the medication that was put on just made me, want to get MRI. So they did an MRI of my hip area or my pelvic area, and they caught it. And that's when they saw, you have no blood flow going to your hips. So,
wow. I wanted to ask you about pre and post legalization, but I'm, because for me, I'm wreck. I'm just a casual user of cannabis. I'm not medical, but it dawns on me that since you've been medical since 2014, the evolution of medical cannabis goes on well before October 17th, 2018. So as far as like dryness or quality of cannabis, have you noticed an evolution in the quality of medical cannabis since 2014 up until now?
Some producers have, the quality has gone down. I think it's because they're trying to speed things up instead of drying or curing or, the whole process of that. Instead of it taking like, say, 2 weeks or more, we'll say, it's getting sped up to the point where it's all dried and cured in like a day, it seems.
Okay.
So, with these N-Wave dryers that I hear that they're using at some of the producers. Mm-hmm. So that could be the quality degrading maybe. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure, but I've noticed that probably 2 years before legalization, maybe a year and a half, things started to go downhill. So probably in about 2017, maybe late 2016. Before that, the buds were always sticky. They were fresh. They weren't dried out to the point where they're crumbling to dust. I never had that problem.
Yeah.
And then I went with one producer out west, and they started providing these humidity packs. And I started throwing them in because that's, it freshens them up a bit.
Yeah.
But if, the flower is completely degraded and evaporated of all those essential oils that are on there.
Only so much they can do.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe the medical cannabis quality was getting better until about 2016-17, and then it started going down because of Trudeau's election and the election promise of legalization, and maybe all of these producers were starting to get into growth mode, and they're like, now we just have to expand, and that became their primary sort of driver, and they were focusing less on the quality of the growth? Do you think that might have played a bit of a part in it?
I think the growth of some of these companies have definitely, it's great that they're growing and, to make, you know, the demand that is there.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of companies did grow too quick. And in that process, the quality degraded because they were trying to rush things.
Yeah.
Not that the flour is bad, but the quality has dropped. It's not where it should be.
I'd say some of the flour is bad. Although I don't get medical grade, but I mean, the stuff on the rec market, there have been times where I've seen flour that's being kind of pathetic, for lack of a better term. Definitely home growers and craft growers have done a better job in my eyes. Let me ask you about your affiliation with LPs or any organization. Like, are you ever restrained from being honest in your reviews, or do you feel like sometimes you don't want to maybe name names, or are you always like 100% transparent about your perspective and about your experience with flour and with cannabis?
Yeah, so that's a great question. 100%. Like I have, you know, I'm all on my own, independent.
Yeah.
If I find a flour that's really bad, on my website, I have actually mentioned one of the products that I actually tried was absolutely disgusting. And I didn't go in full hardcore detail here about how bad it was. But, you know, I always look at the positives in flour, no matter how bad a flour looks. I mean, there's lots of flour out there that's garbage, but at the end of the day, when you tried it, did you get any effect from it?
Yeah,
it may have not been the most pleasant, but it did something. But does it mean it's great? No. So I have no affiliation with any licensed producers, aside from being registered with, you know, three of them, just for variety, because a couple of years ago, I remember there was shortages in the medical system.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, I can't be with one licensed producer, you know, like I go to one and then they're sold out as something that I really liked.
Of course.
So I would be like, you know what, split my prescription in half. And then I was with two. So then I selected from two of them. So it's great to have a great selection to choose from. And I think that's what kind of made me accelerate to start reviewing more and understanding better of how cannabis works for me and how it works for others as well and what matters in terms of quality, because every producer's, you know, they're all different across the line.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What kind of interaction do you get or feedback from consumers and from people who read and follow your reviews?
So a lot of people who reach out to me generally are medical patients, I've noticed. You know, I got great feedback saying, you know, great reviews, and, you know, I totally understand, you know, your thought process on like how you're laying it all out. I've made some changes as well over the years of how I review things, especially since I got the Mighty vaporizer. So I, you know, changing temperatures, that's a whole other conversation, but yeah, that's the main thing. Licensed producers, a couple have reached out to me just in general of like going on a tour or, you know, like swag, just, you know, thanking me for, you know, a review that I've done and saying, hey, here's a shirt. That's all we can do.
Nice. Do you ever test or review gray market products, or is it always legal?
Yeah, everything I've reviewed to date has been all from the licensed producers. Nothing homegrown. However, I have posted some pictures of home grows that I have received from friends, just to, you know, show how quality is different in terms of trichome count. Like,
right.
It was, I think, a couple months ago, I posted a picture and it was an insane amount of trichome, something I haven't even seen on some of the licensed producer side.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality is just like when you grow at home, or, you know, you have, say, eight plants or four plants, I guess is the legal limit, but for medical people, they could have more if they're designated growers. So they have more control over their plants, overseeing everything. We obviously put more care and attention into the plant rather than, say, like hundreds of plants in a room and it's like X amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more care and attention, and that's what makes the quality better, I think. Yeah.
What's your plan? Like, I mean, from here forward and onward, you've been doing this chugging along for 5 years, and I think now you're getting the respect you deserve for the work you do.
Thank you.
It shows. Where do you see yourself in a couple of years? Will you continue to do this? Will you grow it? Will you open up more websites? Like, what's kind of your game plan?
You know, that's a great question. I've been asked by that by a few people, and I really just go with the flow. Dealing with, you know, chronic health issues restricts me in terms of getting out there a lot, going to events. If I'm at one, it's, you know, I'm doing great. And if I'm not at one, more than likely I'm not feeling too good. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not too sure, to be honest with you. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I love writing. I never really saw myself as a writer, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
But educating others is something I love doing, and helping people understand cannabis better is something that I think more people need to be talking about. And there are a lot of people on Twitter and Instagram just talking about their experiences. And I think that's great, especially for the industry and also for patients who are looking for, you know, insight on what to expect.
Yeah.
But one last note there is that just because what I buy in a store here, for instance, and what you may buy out in Alberta will be two different products. Like, they could be completely different batches. So it may not always be the same outcome. And that's kind of the problem. Some companies are better with consistency than others. So.
Yeah, consistency is a big thing. I mean, and also like just almost like vintages of wine, you know, from one year to the next now, I would expect that the same cultivar from the same grower might be a little bit different.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I've tried Zhongyi from Aferia, and then I tried it from 7 Acres, and, you know, there were huge differences. I don't know if it's the way they're growing, the light, you know, the humidity, temperature. There's so many variations that I could change the output of the plant.
Can I wager a guess that the 7 Acres Zhongyi was better than the Aferia?
Yeah, 100% better.
All right.
Yeah, no, it's just, I don't know what they're doing over there, but they're just really focused from when I went on a tour there, and they're all happy. Like, they were working, you know, when I was on the tour, everyone was happy, working together, talking.
Well, that's good.
You know, there was communication flow, like whatever they're doing out there, they're doing a great job. I was just beyond impressed. It was like walking into a factory, but a beautiful factory of plants and just people communicating with each other.
Nice. Good vibes.
Yeah.
What would you do if someone walked up to you, say, at an event and said, dude, I want to become a reviewer too. What would you say to them? What advice would you have for somebody who wants to get into reviewing cannabis?
So getting into cannabis reviewing, I think more people should start doing it. And the thing to look at is, you know, you want to break it down to make it easy to explain to other people, like, you know, the smell, the taste, how are you consuming it? Is it an edible or is it smoking? Even those effects aren't something you should always throw into a review to judge how it worked. Mm-hmm. It will vary, but that is something that I think helps people understand what to maybe expect. Did you get dry eyes? I did, but he didn't or she didn't. So who knows why? There's more science, obviously, that has to be done.
Yeah. Well, I think officially, you're right, because one person to the next is going to most likely have a different experience. But I know that sometimes I'll buy an eighth or what do you call that? A half quarter. If you buy a half quarter, I can't wrap my head around that term. If you go to the store and buy an eighth and say I roll a joint or two, I don't always love it. So sometimes I'll say it like a friend. I'll say, hey, you want this? You want to try it? But I do tell them what I think. If I say it's really strong, it kind of, you know, messed me up. And I don't know. I think inevitably as a consumer, I say it. But I think as official reviewer, I guess you can't. There's sort of walls in which you probably shouldn't climb because...
Yeah, like, it's hard to say. Like, I mean, reviews, no matter how you look at it, it's all subjective. Even the way I smell something, well, you know, I could say it smells like pine, and you may think it smells like something else. So it is subjective at the end of the day, and that's the thing is when you do pick a product, I think other people should look at other sources as well to review a product to gauge an idea of what to expect. There's, you know, obviously a few other known reviewers out there. Pancake Nap is probably one of the other most well-known people on the Twitterverse. Mm-hmm. And
also,
you know,
a Calgary boy.
Also in Calgary. I listened to you, his podcast on your episode, on your show as well. Absolutely amazing guy. I hope to meet him one day. He's someone who I admire a lot.
I thought that I've only met him once or twice, and he seems very calculated. Like, he puts a lot of thought into his reviews as well. So I enjoyed just letting him speak and absorbing, like, just like you, right? Like, people who do the reviews and they put the time and the effort in, obviously, you put a lot of thought into what you think about cannabis. And it's just fun to ask you, sort of drop you, pitch you some questions and let you kind of feed us information. You know what I mean? It's different with different people that I talk to.
Yeah, I mean, when you consume like a lot of cannabis over the years, I've spent over $16,000 now since 2014. Yeah, so I calculate that also because it's a medical expense. I can claim that on my taxes because I have employable income. So unfortunately, that's not the case with people who are on, you know, provincial disabilities, or, you know, if they're on Ontario Works or whatever assistance programs. And taxes is one thing that should be removed off medical cannabis. I'm not too sure why it's still on there. And that's a huge hot button issue, but it should be removed.
How do we find out more about you online? If somebody wants to discover your reviews, utilize your services, I guess, for lack of a better term, where can we find you?
So the best place to find me is on Twitter or Instagram under the handle Vape the Bud, and my website, vapethebud.com, just to make it all consistent.
Any final thoughts?
No, it was great having a conversation with you today, Michael. I appreciate the time.
No problem, buddy. Thank you. And I look forward to publishing this one, as always.
Awesome. Thank you again.
Thanks so much to Shane, a.k.a. Vape the Bud, for joining me on today's podcast. To follow Shane, just look up Vape the Bud on Twitter and Instagram, or just Google him. And hey, if you have a business or product and you'd like to reach all of my subscribers, reach out to me, michael@distinctmedia.ca, and I'll send you a media kit. And stay tuned, because very soon I have an update on the cannabis in Mexico situation, as well as an interview with Kurt Robbins, a.k.a. Guy Rubinsky, coming up very soon as well. Thanks a lot.
The media contributors within the Cannabis Media Collective do our very best to remain as accurate as possible, but take no responsibility for any inaccurate details or facts. If a story interests you, we're glad to have brought it to your attention, but please take the time to research the details for yourself. We'll be right back.